Have you ever noticed things are changing faster and faster and faster and slower and slower and slower all at the same time? Think about it. Heard somebody say that this summer. Yeah, things are growing so fast. We have gone through, in my lifetime, this short lifetime of mine, we've seen unbelievable changes. Unbelievable. We have paradigm shifts in every field. I wouldn't be alive today, I know it, the way I've lived, if it wasn't for advances in medicine. Many of us wouldn't be alive. I mean, it's amazing what changes we've gone through. And we're going to go afloat. It's going faster. And yet, slower, too. Some of us are very slow. I know I'm a very slow person. But, you know, Jesus is talking about, it's hard to keep up. Even the church can't keep up. Was it this summer, Cardinal Martini? Is that his name? Was it Martini? Good name, huh? Martini? He lived a long, good life on a few martinis a day. But he said the church is 200 years behind times. Great cardinal, if you're a progressive Catholic. Anyhow, Jesus says no one knows when the end's coming. We don't know when the end's coming. Only the Father knows. And perhaps the end is not near. Perhaps it's still millions and billions of years away. But what we should know, I think, is that we are now living now in a very critical point in the history of our human race. This is critical times right now. And we should all realize is that what is at stake now is not simply an economic, material, or sociological, or political and cultural issue, but rather what is at stake is the survival of the human race. On a deeper level, the question is not how are we going to survive the threat of chemical and nuclear warfare, or polluted air, or contaminated oceans, or wasteful exploitation of resources, an irreparable assault on our ecosystem. For all these threats come from people who have a specific state of consciousness. And that's the state that we're in right now with our ego, who show our behavior is false, and we can no longer sustain what we're doing. We're destroying ourselves. We're destroying the earth. And then we destroy Mother Earth, we're going to destroy ourselves in the process. Talk of being pro-life. If you're not pro-environment, you can't be pro-life for anything, because we won't have any life at all. We're killing ourselves. We are manifesting dangerously irrational conduct. And we can't find anybody to heal us or save us. The crisis in consciousness is perfect. We are sick. We are. Where is the healer? I remember several years ago, and I couldn't find it, but Eckhart Tolle, you know him, The Power of Now and The New Earth, The New Heaven, and in there he puts our human species under the microscope, actually psychiatric exam, and he goes through what we've done to each other, what we've done to ourselves as a species over the last 100 years or so or more. And he came up with the diagnosis that we are certifiably insane. But when you think about it and you read that, you can say, yes, aren't we insane? Look at what we've been doing. We need to wake up quickly. Who will liberate us from our neurosis? How do we get to a new higher level of consciousness? Where are the resources now that we can tap into? See, if you study evolution always had these resources ready when humanity faced a crisis in its existence. So where are these resources for us today? Will there be one of those quantum leaps in consciousness? And that's what some people are saying that's going to happen. And I'm on board with them. There's going to be this quantum leap in human consciousness. And they're comparing it to the first time. Think about it. When the first humanoids, all of a sudden came out of unconsciousness and they became aware. They became aware of themselves. They became aware of their environment. Imagine being back then, a few millions of years ago, when humans first came into consciousness and became self-reflective and unlike the other animals who are unconscious, you know, who don't have that awareness that we have. People are saying that the next step is here. We're in the cusp. We're ready to go through it. And maybe we're going through it now. That's going to steer our planet away from this abyss that we're going into. Something's got to steer us away from it. It ought to be a great source of hope that so many people have set out on the path to an expansion of consciousness and an expansion of compassion, therefore. We are in the midst of a momentous shift in human consciousness. And you're not going to read about it or hear about it on the news tonight. You won't hear it. It ought to, but because with our ego consciousness, we have very limited powers for manipulating evolution, because evolution follows completely non-rational laws. Not irrational laws, but non-rational laws. So reason can't get there. We have to go beyond reason and the mind. That's been one of our greatest achievements, is a rational mind. But we need to go beyond that now, to something greater, to our essence. So again and again, nature has helped itself and produced forces that spared humanity from extinction. And that's our hope, at least that's my hope today as well. And I believe it will. You look at Daniel, back, I don't know how many years ago Daniel was written, the book of Daniel, only a couple hundred years before Jesus was born, and in our first reading. And like him, who were, you know, seers and prophets, we have today those same people among us who are prophets and mystics and seers. And they're saying this, that there's a new species of human is coming. In fact, that it's in the process of being. It's not yet organized, but for the time being, it's composed of individuals who they don't feel obliged to any existing group, not even any religious group, except for they're obliged to the perennial philosophy. I hope, go look it up, perennial philosophy, which was and is the peak of all religions, is perennial philosophy. And it was always carried on by an individual or individuals who then became the crystallization point of the group. So even today, these base groups transcend all racial, national, ethnic, religious, and gender-specific characteristics. They show great interest, these groups, in psychological, spiritual, and religious disciplines without tying themselves down to any one of them. They are the bearers of hope for the future. Somebody gave me a book about a few weeks ago, actually. And some of you I know have it. It's called Birth 2012. That's the name of the book. You can go to birth2012.com and you'll see something amazing. If you're familiar with Barbara Max Hubbard, who's in her 90s now, I think, who was a great seer, futurist, who had a vision 40, 50 years ago. She shares her vision, which is, send the chills right up your spine. And she, along with many others in the scientific field, different fields, religious as well as scientific, put together this book and this vision DVD that I'll be showing later. But go there and you'll find hope and inspiration. I did. As well as you'll find ways and practices that you can awaken to what's going on and to become more conscious and expand your consciousness. Anyways, back to these enlightened ones. They arise out of the dying culture of our time, which has been afflicted, as you know, by the most violent jolts. I mean, think of what we've been through. Think of what's happening. Think of what you see around you. Bloated institutions. Bloated institutions. Institutions that were good at their time and when they began and they served their purpose, but now they're having a hard time functioning. Governments. Governments are being run by lobbies and interest groups. Insatiable economic giants in greed. Aggressive competition in the world. And stagnating religious institutions and systems. And then we have manipulative newspaper chains and TV stations and dying empty shells that have to struggle to stay on their feet. And the number of people, of those unknown conspirators in these base groups of all sorts, is very small. In fact, from the outside, they can scarcely be recognized because their difference is within themselves. So my experience, anyways, from the many courses that I have taken and my travels, is this. Suggest that there's breakthroughs to cosmic consciousness, to Christ consciousness, you could call it, are occurring more frequently in the recent years than in the past century. It's occurring more and more. This phenomena justifies the conclusion that Teilhard de Chardin, the great paleontologist and Jesuit mystic 50, 60 years ago, this justifies the conclusion that the psycho-spiritual evolution is proceeding at a faster pace than most people realize and suspect. And I suspect that most of you aren't aware of this as well. The birth of this new human being is taking place as I talk in our midst. And Teilhard and others were trying to name what that human being is going to be, because evolution, if you follow evolution, it grows into greater complexity and greater expansion and knowledge and consciousness. And they were trying, what do you call this new human being that's coming about? And they came up with the name the Universal Human. It's going to be the Universal Human. Most of us are not, our consciousness that doesn't include even the globe, never mind the universe. But the Universal Human, the future is his and hers. And it remains the hope that us Christians will find or will recognize that this is our hour. This is our hour, and that we join the ranks of these pioneers to see that there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. That was the message of Jesus, by the way. But we overstress the divinity of Jesus, who wanted to be our leader into the kingdom of God, as he called this new epoch. And as long as it sets up an unbridgeable cleft between Jesus and us, Christianity is not going to fulfill its mission. So long as we adore him only as God, we will not follow him as our leader into this new world, into this new kingdom of God that he talked about and lived for and died for. He is the firstborn among the brothers and sisters. He told us who we are. He said, you're children of God. And being children of God is something you need, actually, it needs to be experienced. You have to experience being a child of God. And so I look around the world and I wonder how many people experience themselves as children of God and live out of that center of their divine essence like Jesus did. Being children of God is something to be experienced. My brothers and sisters, the divine would like to make a breakthrough through you in the world today. You. Each one of you has a purpose of being here. And God wants to work in and through you into this world. So in the end, let me say this, that the Spirit today is all about moving us if we cooperate, to transcend our usual state of consciousness and mind, and to move today beyond the ego, which is always revolves around itself, me, 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 I, all about me, all about my group, all about my nation, all about this, whatever, in order to experience the divine center that is in each one of us. That's what the Spirit's doing. From ego to essence. Quite a way to live. Live out of your essence, your deepest self, your truest self, which is your God self. How do you get there? I recommend deep listening, which is silent prayer, meditation, contemplation, and the Eucharist. The Eucharist is not about only changing bread and wine into body and blood. It's about changing us and transforming us into the body of Christ in the world today. So become what you receive and put on the mind of Christ.